Welcome to Racecast. Welcome back if you've been here before. If you haven't, good luck. You might see us dressed in full McLaren attire.
What?
Matt looks really good in the hat, but look, right?
Can I take it off now?
No, because it's part of my piece.
Okay.
We have given Danny Rick a fair amount of stick on this podcast, and I think deservedly so, you know?
Yeah.
No times do we want to be nasty, but what we are is fair. When someone performs, we come out and we support them. And that is what we're doing today. So stick around. We've got a lot to talk about. Danny Rick's performance, all of Mexico. There's been a lot of news this week as well. We've had the cost cap stuff all come out. Obviously, that was last week, but we still got to talk about it because there was all the presses that was happening, like Christian Horner addressing the media. We've had Alonso saying stuff about Lewis coming back at Alonso. Pierre Gasly, could he get a race ban? We have
Ted Kravitz
has scared Red Bull away from Sky Sports. We have so much to talk about, so stick around. Make sure you follow us on social media. The links are in the description down below. If you're listening to us, give us 5 stars because that really does mean a lot to us. But if you want to find us on social media, just search Racecast and you can't miss us. If you do miss us, it's probably not for you. Then, yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. We love it when you get involved and all the interaction really does mean a lot to us. So, yeah, I'm not going to carry on for much more. I'm going to pass over to Matt and we're going to crack on.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. It is a brand new episode. Somebody actually commented to me the other day and said they prefer brand new episode than new episode.
Really?
Yes.
I just don't understand the difference. Like, if something is new, is it not brand new?
You know, it could be.
If it's not new, then it's just not new.
Yeah.
You know, you say, is that new? No, not really.
I think just the emphasis is better. Can I take this hat off now? I mean,
it's up to you. It depends if you want to support Danny Rick or not.
I want to support Danny Rick, but you take the mick out of me wearing a hat. And I feel like this is a ploy to make me look even more stupid each week.
Let him know, right now, Matt has got this thing about hats, right?
Which you've put on me.
He's got quite a long head. Does it suit him? Does he suit a hat? Should he wear a hat in future episodes? You can comment down below or don't.
No, I think it's good. I'm taking that off.
I would put it back on.
Show your face. Welcome along, everyone. Hope you're all good. Luke, how are you? How's your week been?
Yeah, not bad. I got some kittens.
Yeah, exciting.
So, got two little kittens. Lilo and Toto.
Toto, I get, but what's Lilo?
No, Lilo hasn't, but like that's why I saved Toto till last. I was like, Lilo, get that out of the way because that bears no relevance to this podcast.
Is that your least favourite one?
No, Lilo is actually more cuddly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then Toto's the boy, so he's a bit more feisty. Been looking after them. Nice. But they're cool. They're well behaved.
You tried teaching me how to use a steering wheel the other day for F1.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, surely you lot must play F1. What do you actually think of the game? It really winds me up. The AI, so aggressive. And if you tap them, right, if there's a coming together, why do you always spin out?
And they never spin.
It literally defies the laws of physics, that game. Yep. Many times have I wanted to punch my screen. But I did try and teach Matt how to use the wheel. And I think he wanted to punch his screen.
I wanted to. Do you know, I was literally about to sell it.
In fairness, I had set him up so he wasn't using brake assist. And obviously, you're not using steering assist, but we did then put you back on brake assist. Because Matt kept being like, I don't understand. I'm having to turn the wheel like 3 times to turn a corner. And I'm like, no, it won't turn anymore. You're just taking too much speed. You're getting understeer you're driving too fast into the corners.
It triggered me.
If you have any tips for him or if you've got any suggested videos where he can go and watch and maybe learn, because we were practicing around Bahrain. I think I was 7 seconds a lap quicker.
Which in theory...
You were setting 140s, I was low 130s.
Which in theory isn't bad considering I was
I mean, if you've ever gone from stick where you're using assist to then using the wheel, people think it's going to be a lot. I remember when I got it, I was like, this is going to be a piece of cake. It's not like you actually, you do have to really think about things and you do have to put assists on and sort of wean yourself off them.
It triggered me to a whole new level. Like, honestly, after that session...
Every 30 seconds, Matt was like, nah, I'm selling it. I'm just going back to pad.
Let us know. Let us know. Have you tried it on the wheel? And if so, are you a pro?
I also want to know, has anyone else actually played F1 Manager, right? Because you keep talking about it.
Yeah, I need to get it.
I want to get it, but it looks too complicated for my tiny little brain. I keep thinking, like, I'm not going to be able to do all this.
Do you know the way I want to get it? The reason why I
want
to get it?
You want a job.
I have a job.
Do you reckon? Do you remember someone got a manager's job, like in football, through their football manager record?
Did they?
Yes, I swear to God, this is true. He got given a manager's job because of his managerial record on Football Manager.
That's epic.
That is. It was years ago.
So, if we become really good on F1 Manager and take Williams to Constructors Championships and Alex Albon as a world champion,
here's the thing, right? If you're a young boy or girl and your parents are telling you, hey, stop playing games, they'll never get you anywhere, you tell them, shut up, mum. I'm playing F1 Manager and it's going to help me break into the sport. That's what you're going to say to them. Because if someone has got a manager's job in football, from a football manager history.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, anything is possible. I'm expecting to get in a driver's seat soon enough. That's my career plan ever since waffling ended.
I dislike the fact, right? And I get what you say, because F1 Manager, I think you do the whole race, so it is going to be very time consuming and it's going to be...
You do like a race a week, maybe. Yeah.
I think if you have the mindset of you're going in and going, okay, for this like next hour and a half, I'm so focused on... I think it'd be quite good fun.
Yeah, but it was like that thing. Did you ever play... I know I'm bringing it back to Football Manager, but this just like comparatively. I used to play Football Manager on the PSP, and it was like a simplified version.
Yeah.
But like, there was still like... You could still do loads on it. But then sort of PSPs died out, and I was like, oh, mate, I miss Football Manager. I got it on the PC, and I was like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, you can decide what your players have for breakfast and
I used to always have it on the phone. Because it was quick. You can get through seasons really quick.
So that's what I'm worried. I'm worried if it's going to be a bit complicated. But yeah, let us know if any of you have it. What is it like? I know I can just look online, but I'm interested in your opinions.
It does look good. It does look good. Right, shall we get into F1 news? Because we have a lot to talk about. It was a busy weekend. A lot of exciting stuff happened. Yeah. Let's start off with our discussions, which we've had over the last few weeks. You know, the cost cap.
Yeah.
Obviously, as we know, Red Bull were found to be guilty. They went into a breach agreement, which was with the FIA, and it was agreed that actually they would pay a $7 million fine, I think it was, and they would get a 10% reduction in wind tunnel time. So to put that into perspective, each year... So for example,
Also, just quickly, sorry, what I didn't realise is that 10% is like, it's not... Say they had... I know this is going to sound stupid, but it's just because instantly I think our brains think this. You know, you get allocations. So say like for coming first, you get like 30% wind tunnel time.
I'm literally about to just say this.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I was literally just going
to say. Did it confuse you as well? Were you thinking, I was thinking, oh, it's going from like, for example, 30 to 20, but it's not. It would go from like 30 to 27.
Yeah, no. So for wherever you finish within the season.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you already get a reduction because so the teams who finish last will get more time in the wind tunnel and it works it way down. So Red Bull, obviously, they won the championship this year, constructors and the driver's title. So they were automatically going to get a reduction anyway.
Yeah.
They're going to get a 10% reduction on that, but it only works out something like 7% less than what Ferrari or Mercedes are going to get.
Yeah, I think it worked out as like, they were talking about on Sky, is it like one session a week or something?
Yeah.
Look, I don't want us to dive too much into this. I think a lot of Formula One fans have sort of expressed their dissatisfaction at the penalty, other than Red Bull fans, because look, I'm not being funny. If this was happening to Mercedes and this was the penalty, I'd be laughing my ass off.
I'd be ecstatic.
Because this is, you know, okay, many people didn't agree with Verstappen losing his title through, like, and fair enough, you know, I can understand that as a Red Bull fan, why you would think that is so out of order. We might have different opinions, other people might. But let's say they could only do this sort of penalty. This is not like a 10% reduction and $7 million. That's a night out for Red Bull.
They'll be like, okay, you know our winning money we get for coming first, just deduct it off there. No worries. We'll still get a good amount. For me, like, I'm a bit bored of talking about it now because it's gone on for so long. I feel like the FIA took way too long with this process, but I think it's a laughing stock. I think the FIA have had the opportunity here to really make an example, and actually the punishment is the lightest penalty. Although Red Bull think they've been hit hard, they haven't been hit hard by any imagination.
Red Bull do not think they've been hit hard. Christian Horner is a PR merchant, right? And, you know, I said this before, he is very calculated. He always knows what he's doing. He's come out and called it draconian. A 10% reduction, mate. That's not... Draconian would be slashing it 50% or taking it away from you. It's just like, no, boys, you're not having any. You can have one session for the whole year.
Yeah.
It's minor. And I think the 7 million also, he was saying that's a substantial amount of money. Yeah, it might be.
For all of us lot.
Yeah. Not for Red Bull, no. The multi-billion dollar company, like one of the biggest companies in the world. Okay, I know it might be different from the F1, but the F1 team has a lot of money. Clearly, they spent too much last year, so money is not an issue. He knew what he was doing coming out saying all that. What I did find funny is him coming out saying, well, I think all the other teams owe us an apology for all the slander. You entered an accepted breach agreement.
You openly admitted you cheated.
You've written a confession. I don't think anyone owes you an apology. And I think, you know, if I was Red Bull, I would be probably just keeping my mouth shut right now because I'd be like, fucking hell, boys, we've got away with this one.
I'd walk away, tail between your legs, just go away, keep quiet, like, and that's it.
What a result for them. And I say this, like, if you're a Red Bull fan, you must be gassed right now because, you know, there must, at some point, especially when all the rumours were like, oh, one team has gone over substantially, you must have been thinking, fucking hell. This is going to fuck us.
But 1.8 million is what they've gone over. I know from what the report site is, a big chunk of that is, but they didn't put a tax form in or something or whatever. That didn't happen. So that's why it wasn't reduced. But you've still gone over. And the interesting thing is, you know, they spoke to Toto and he said, you know, they went to him, does this give you the opportunity to go next year? That actually, well, if this is a fine, then we'll just overspend next year. And he was very, I don't know if you saw this interview, he was very calm with it. And he was very much like, no, we don't plan on doing that. We just want a fair sport. You know, we'll move on from this. And he even said that it was a fair punishment. There's no way Toto Wolff believes that is a fair punishment.
But could it, all right. So can you see this? Obviously, I think if you purposely breached the cost cap.
Yeah.
Because Red Bull obviously pled ignorance, right? So if Toto is coming out now saying, we're just going to breach it next year, and then they breach it, they're going to be like, well, you did this purposely, so like we're going to hit you with a harder penalty. Because that would be circumstantially different.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So if he's coming out saying like, oh no, that's a really fair penalty, yeah, you know, that's harsh. And then Mercedes accidentally breached the cost cap next year, he'll be like, oh, sorry, boys. Damn it. Can't believe we did that. Anyway, so 7 mil and 10% reduction time, is it? Yeah, we'll take that. That's all I'm thinking, like, because he got a lot of stick from Mercedes fans on Twitter, and I was thinking, like, nah, good, you talk up that punishment.
Yeah.
Then breach the cost cap. You know, because as far as I'm aware, it doesn't matter. You know, you've got this less than 5%, more than 5%. 1.8 million in theory then is no different to spending 6.9 million. Do you know what I mean? Just under 5%.
Yeah. So
just do that. You, mate, have an absolute rocket ship of a car. You'll have to pay a little fine. Might hinder you a bit next year, but you've already made up like a second per lap on all the other boys because you've put so much more money into it. Doesn't matter. It'd take them 10 years to catch up with you anyway.
I like the fact that Horner said, And you know what? I'm not bashing Red Bull here. I think if you're a Red Bull fan, I would be delighted with your punishment.
Whoever was doing the negotiations, give them a raise.
Yeah, because absolutely superb. What I find really bizarre is when Horner comes out and goes, yeah, but that 1.8 million didn't benefit us at all. It was no car performance. We didn't perform, you know, there was no benefit to it. You spent over 1.8 million. There's guarantee there is a benefit to your performance.
And here's the thing that I don't really understand. It's like the cost cap is just, it's a pool of money, right? So like, or if you think of it as a pie, right? It's one whole pie that the teams are
what
given.
What type of pie?
Cherry pie.
Oh.
Right, so they get this at the start of every season. They divide it up however they like. The FIA aren't like, right, you're allowed to spend 1 million on this, 10 on that. 1.8 million, it doesn't matter where that money's gone. It's just a collective. Mm. Do you know what I mean? If you've gone 1.8, there's not one specific thing that would push you over.
Yeah.
It's just, no, you've got all of this and you've used too much. That's what I can never wrap my head around. Like, oh, it was on catering. How can it be on one specific thing? Like, it's just a cap.
Well, Toto was saying it is so confusing. It's not like a normal budget you have. It is so intricate. It's so complex.
I can't imagine. I wouldn't. And it is the first season as well. So, but you know, that story is done.
It's over.
I think, I'm definitely not going to hold on to it. Just draw a line in the sand and whatnot.
Don't get me wrong. You know, and I generally mean this when I say this. Okay, you know, after last year, wanted to see Lewis be an 8-time world champion. Oh, fine, anyway. What I didn't want to do, and I'm happy for Max, is that he didn't lose his world championship. Yeah, I'm happy that actually, you know, don't get me wrong, I think there should have been harsher punishments. But for Max Verstappen, it's a real win. And
going back to decide championships a year later is not what the sport wants or needs anyway. So
I'm happy for him for that point of view. With regards to Red Bull, I think, you know, you would be absolutely delighted with that.
I would just be interested to see the Red Bull fans' perspective if it was Mercedes that overspent and Lewis had won the championship last year.
Yeah.
I think that's all you kind of have to understand. And we are trying to be...
I imagine it would be exactly the same, but roles reversed.
We are trying to be as impartial as possible here. Yeah. Because if I was a Red Bull fan, I would be obviously defending the team. Mm. And I'd be delighted with this penalty.
So I was having a chat with a few friends the other day and we were talking about Abu Dhabi last year. Because obviously we're coming up to Abu Dhabi again, you know, the final race of the season.
And let it go, man.
That is the one thing I guarantee I'll take to my deathbed, which I'll still never get over.
Yeah, I think I'm the same.
I don't know why. Don't get me wrong. I've accepted that it's happened, all this stuff. But when I bring it back up or whenever we talk about it or whatever, it just...
I think it's the emotion when I was watching it, like I was livid. Oh,
I literally just dropped to the floor. I was just like, I can't believe this is happening. I was gutted. Grown men, eh? Grown men. But anyway, let us know. Were you the same or are we just...
But this is why we love the sport. How much it means to us and how much it means to you guys.
Yeah. Interesting last week, you know, we discussed about what was more interesting, Lewis versus Max, Max versus Charles. Mm-hmm. Majority of people agreed that Max versus Lewis is better to watch, but they always fear for Max because Lewis is, some people quoted, the dirtiest driver F1 has ever seen. Come on now.
I think, look, this might seem biased, but last season, the thing is, Max is a very hard racer, and Lewis is a very hard racer.
But that's why they're the best in the sport, because they go above that level.
I think last season you definitely saw Lewis back out more. Max goes full send sometimes. And we saw like cases in Brazil, Saudi Arabia. That was just on like terrorism level. That was, and even if you're a Red Bull fan, you have to admit that. But you know, there were times where Lewis also pushed him to the limit. And
Silverstone.
But that's why I loved it, because it was so like, I was like, oh God, what is going to happen here? There's all this like nicey-nicey Charles Leclerc, like, oh, waving and saying he drives past me. I don't like it. Like, That to me is just not like competitive sport.
And you have to admit, if you're an F1 fan, this time last year, I guarantee you, you were so gripped with the sport. Obviously, you know, we had finished Mexico. I thought the season was over. Then we go to Qatar or whatever. And then all of a sudden, Lewis turns it around and you've got this great battle. And you had this great battle all last year. We've missed that this year. This year, in all honesty, has been pretty boring. I mean, there's been glimmers at the beginning of season, the battles between Leclerc and Max.
Yeah.
You know, it was great.
I think like first four or five races, it was really interesting.
You know, but then all of a sudden, it just got to a point where it's kind of, you know, Max has dominated. He's been superb. You know, it's actually been a pleasure to watch how good he's been.
This is kind of tying back to my point. Like, I think this season he's a different driver to last season.
Yeah.
And that's maybe because he's won his first championship now. But
he doesn't have that pressure.
So the pressure is off, but... And he seems a lot more calculated now, and he doesn't seem still aggressive. You have to be. Lewis is aggressive. But like I say, there were some kamikaze attempts last year, and I don't think you'd see that from Max in the future.
Max has also been like this because he hasn't had that challenge.
Yeah. So he can be more relaxed.
He can be. And he knows, and I've said this before, if he's going one-on-one versus Charles Leclerc, 9 times out of 10... he will come out on top.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why you're not seeing an aggressive Max this year, because he knows he just has to play it smart. He knows that Red Bull's got a straight line speed. He knows that actually he will just get Charles anyway. So he just has to play it smart. He knows what Charles will end up making a mistake. And actually, that's what you've seen this year. And I find it sad because I think Charles showed glimmers of class at the beginning of the season, and I was really hoping that we're going to see a Charles Leclerc now.
This is Charles' season.
Yeah.
I really do.
I don't think he's going to get another opportunity. Not next year. I think Mercedes are going to be back next year.
I mean, Mercedes are borderline already better than Ferrari now.
Yeah.
I think they're certainly on par. I mean, we'll discuss the Ferraris this weekend. God knows what happened. There were rumours about them turning their engines down. Again, we'll discuss that. I don't really understand it. But yeah, it's. I think Charles is going to have a few sleepless nights across his life thinking about this year.
Yeah, no, definitely. Other news. So Pierre Gasly is on the brink of an F1 race ban after latest penalty in Mexico. So
he has been collecting a lot of penalties recently.
Yeah.
And obviously that's been racking up points.
So
he's super licensed.
He picked up another 5-second time penalty this weekend and one penalty point for forcing Lars Stroll off a track in Sunday's race.
Which I thought was fair if you saw it in the race.
But what I didn't understand with that, I know we'll get on the race in a minute, why didn't they just tell him, this is where, again, the inconsistency with the FIA, why didn't they just say to Gasly, give the place back? Why did they have to leave it so long to then go, oh...
Because is it one of those where the team are normally meant to say... give that position back because we think you're going to have to give it back? Because the FIA have to review it. But I know what you mean. Like, everyone could see instantly, like...
give the place back.
Yeah,
easy.
Like, you've locked up going into that corner. Yeah. This force glance off, like, you need to give that position back. But also, at the same time, why is Gasly not thinking that?
Yeah.
It just, I know, like, he's probably got other things on his mind.
It just seemed like a really unnecessary penalty. And it seemed like, actually... yeah, give the place back, and then that's it. But you've actually screwed yourself by getting a 5-second penalty, a point on your drive, and...
yeah, because have you also seen that people are saying now, you know, surely Gasly just purposely gets a penalty in the next race to then, you know, complete his points collection, take a race ban, and then going into Alpine next season, he'll have a fresh super license. No points.
True that.
So, you know, whereas he's going to risk potentially carrying these, he's got 13 points, I think, isn't it? And it's 15.
So he's got 10 points. So Gasly has now accumulated 10 points.
It's 12 when you get the ban.
Yeah. So he's accumulated 10 points over the last year. Repeat offenders that rack up 12 penalty points across a 12-month period are hit with an automatic one-race suspension. No F1 driver has reached the total since the rule was introduced in 2014. Do you know the two drivers who came extremely close?
2014, I'm thinking, was Maldonado racing?
No.
He definitely would have. Who's come close? Christ, I don't even know.
So, Sebastian Vettel and Romain Grosjean came very close.
Oh, Grosjean, I should have known that, actually.
But looking at his where he's taken his points, so he had a collision with Stroll in Spain, got 2 points. In Austria, he had a collision with Vettel, 2 points.
Oh, he doesn't like the Aston Martins, does he?
Austria, leaving a track without a justified reason multiple times, 1 point. He had one. He got 2 points in Japan, speeding under a red flag condition.
Fair enough.
He had one in the United States, failing, falling more than 10 car lengths behind the safety car, 2 points. I felt that was harsh.
That was harsh because I saw a thread on Twitter.
Yeah.
Every single driver, and I mean every single driver.
Yeah. Does it?
Was more than 10 car lengths or 50 meters, whatever the fuck it is. At one point, this guy screenshotted all the, like, the TV pod cams and, like, literally showed them at the same distance that Pierre Gasly was from the car in front. That was harsh. Every single driver on that grid should have had a penalty or none of them.
And then obviously he got 1 point from Mexico. So he needs 2 more points and then he has a race ban.
Just do it, Pierre. Rack him up. That's what I'd do. I mean, honestly, like, it doesn't matter. Like, that, you know, the AlphaTauri is crap anyway this year. He's got no loyalty to them. He wants to start his, you know, this is a fresh start for him in his career. He's going to a better team.
Yeah.
Like, Alpine are competitive. Minus their reliability. I think we'll touch on that when we talk about the race. But yeah, it's a, that's what I would do. Be a little tactical. Just, I don't know, like, don't, I'm not saying go into someone or something. Just track limits.
Yeah.
Just get that, like, in both races or whatever. Because it just doesn't really matter.
No.
You're now at the point where you just got to think about your next step. And doesn't matter what he does for AlphaTauri in the last two races. It's all about your Alpine career now.
Yeah. No, I agree. Shall we talk about... God, my voice went... Shall we talk about... I feel like, you know, we need to get onto the race shortly, but there's so much news off the track. And this one, Ted Kravitz. I love the bloke. I think he is a national treasure. But he got himself in a bit of trouble this weekend with Red Bull. And I don't know where to start. So let me start by why he got in trouble. So there's a clip of him doing, I think, his TED's notebook where he's walking down talking about a script.
For a movie.
Basically saying, obviously it's weird, isn't it? Because you've got the world champion here, Max Verstappen, who robbed Lewis Hamilton of becoming an 8-time world champion, and then coming here again and overtaking, knocked me out to get him his first win. Basically saying that actually Lewis Hamilton was robbed last year, Max Verstappen wasn't a worthy winner. And that caused a lot of issue with Max Verstappen and Red Bull. So basically what they did with this is they decided to boycott all interviews from Sky Sports this weekend. Ted Kravitz got a lot of stick. Also, a lot of praise on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen more praise. I've seen hashtag thank you, Ted, trending for a long time. Honestly, thanks for just keeping Christian Horner off the pit wall. I'd rather hear from, you know, we hear from him all the time.
He's always on the pit wall.
I'd rather hear from Gunther.
Binotto.
Binotto, yep.
You don't hear from Mercedes.
Never hear from Mercedes. No. The guy from McLaren, can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Otmar Szafnauer.
Yeah, I like, you know, what about Aston Martin?
Oh, what's his name again? Mike Crack. What a ridiculous name, man. He has received a bit of stick. I've seen a fair amount of praise.
I've seen a lot of praise. What's your thoughts on it? Because there's an article which has come out literally an hour ago. So Ted Kravitz text to Dutch colleague over Max Verstappen boycott saga comes to light. So basically, Kravitz made the comments at the US Grand Prix earlier, suggesting that it would have been a great script had Hamilton finished ahead of Verstappen. Red Bull considered the comment to be the final straw, with Verstappen claiming that Sky coverage of him since the 2021 finale has been largely negative.
Also not true.
No.
Like, all they do is praise his driving. But I think talking about the controversies that happen in that last race.
And can I just say, Sky Sports have freaking Paul de Resta, who is a Red Bull fanboy. So how can you say that Sky Sports...
He would marry Max Verstappen if he did.
Oh, God, he would, wouldn't he? Jesus Christ. So the Dutch press has stuck up for Kravitz, though, and opened up on a conversation he had with the 47-year-old before Mexico. Kravitz believes his comments have been misinterpreted by Red Bull. He said, "I spoke to Ted this morning. If you listen carefully to that interview, he's walking through the paddock and he says it would be a very nice script for a film." And so he said, so cuts were made to that. So everyone only gets to hear that last bit where he tells us he was robbed, not Max, but the title. So Hamilton has been robbed. He doesn't even mention the whole name of Max Verstappen. This is the issue, isn't it, with these clips? You can edit things now to make it look. I've seen the whole version and Ted Kravitz is talking about a movie and how it is. I think it's taken massively out of context. But I do feel for Ted, because even Lando this weekend gave him a bit of stick. Did you see his post-race interview?
No, what did he say?
So Lando said, Ted Kravitz said to Lando, he said, "Oh, you know, what happened at the start? You lost a couple of places." And Lando was like, "Yes, a couple of places." And he was like, "Oh, yeah, but, you know," he said, "well, you should try rice in the car." So obviously, you know, Lando, again, Max Verstappen fanboy. So,
And I've said this about Lando before. I think sometimes he's got like this bratty attitude, which is why I haven't really like personally taken to him. But yeah, at the end of the day, Ted's just doing his job. Do you know what I mean? I commented on the post that we did on Instagram calling Max a beta, because I think that's a beta move. Mm. Like, I'm sorry, you're in the public eye. It's, you know, is what it is. People are going to, even, all right, and he wasn't talking shit, but people are going to talk shit about you. People have opinions. That's just how it goes. Like, and someone was like, "Oh, if Lewis did this, you would be like sticking up." No, I wouldn't. I think it's a pussy move. Mm. Like, if, you know, there were like racist comments made towards Lewis last year in the Dutch media. And I'm not generalizing there. It was like a minority.
Yeah.
But like, Lewis didn't stop giving interviews to anyone. And this is not even about Max versus Lewis. This is genuinely like a whole team boycotting a news outlet because they're a little bit upset about something they said. I think it's pathetic.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, if Mercedes did it, I think it was pathetic. Like,
oh, if Hamilton or George did it, I would be in the same. I think, come on now.
If
like,
anyone on the grid, like, unless it was genuinely offensive, you know, if Ted was on there like, "Oh yeah, you know, Max Verstappen is a fucking bell end or something," that I would completely understand. Yeah. It's personal. Or he was slandering Red Bull as a brand, or, you know, there is of course a limit, but yeah, nah, it's beta moves.
I mean, I can see where
you're allowed to be wound up, by the way, by like people saying things. But Max would have the perfect opportunity to speak to Ted Kravitz and be like, "What are you saying?"
Yeah, talk to him. Like, that'd be great entertainment.
Yeah, mate, that is a Sigma move. Max, go to an interview with Ted. Be like, why are you saying this? Call him out on camera. But then, I would much prefer that.
But then Max, in an interview from another news outlet, spoke about the whole Ted Kravitz incident, basically saying, "Well, sometimes you just get enough of, you know, criticism. They're always going after me, all of this stuff." So I don't think that's the case. I can see that type of comment can be taken out of context, and I do understand where Max is coming from. But, you know,
It's just precious. It's just pathetic. It's like, I don't know, you know, like, you see all this shit about Cristiano Ronaldo, like when he aired Gary Neville because Gary Neville said his attitude was poor. Mm. Stuff like that. I just think, like, how fragile have you got to be to not, like, speak to someone or whatever because they've, like, said something negative about you or whatever.
But I also see it from a different... angle. So... do I agree with them boycotting? Not necessarily. Was it a major issue for my watching after? No, not really. No. But I also get it that social media nowadays is toxic. It is a platform where you're giving people the freedom to slate people day in, day out. So sometimes I can imagine as a driver, you know, like Max Verstappen, he's a superb driver. He's shown what he can do on the track, you know. But sometimes I guess with that stick, the amount of stick you get from British fans after what everything happened, it can get to a point where you're like, do you know what, if I hear another comment, and because they can actively stop something on a race weekend, you can't actively stop, you know, comments on Twitter and Instagram, all of that stuff. But they, he can actively go, do you know what, negative comments, that's coming from that press area, I want to stop that. And actually for him, that might mentally be like, do you know what, if I can take my step away from that so I don't have to talk to them because I'll end up like losing it, that's a way he takes his step away.
Yeah, which I do understand to a point, but I think just because, I think what was said is nowhere near enough to be like...
triggered.
Yeah, that just, all that says to me is like fragile ego. I just think it's like, how can you not just... I understand the social media stuff, that can be savage, but that's people being personal.
Yeah.
That would be people tweeting Max Verstappen calling him a prick, and do you know what I mean? That is genuine personal attacks. This was just not anything like that. And like I said, if it was, I would understand.
Like after last Abu Dhabi last year, I did, you know, don't get me wrong, Michael Massey isn't, I'm not a fan favourite of him. Red Bull, I'm not a fan favourite, but I respect them, I respect what they do and all that stuff. I did feel sorry for certain individuals last year after Abu Dhabi because the stuff they must have gone through was horrific. Michael Massey, Latifi, Verstappen, you know.
Yeah, being subject to all that stuff online is
wrong. So,
but that is completely different to the press where it is their job to comment on things. And, you know, Tez Notebook, where it's his job to fill like 30 minutes talking about different things.
Yeah.
And there was no slander involved. I just...
No, I think...
Beta move.
Let us know what your thoughts are. Comment down below. I think, yeah, airing it... I get why it may have come like that, but I think it was... It wasn't a strong enough comment to be then refused to talk to them. Because it wasn't...
Everyone's entitled to do that. If you don't want to talk to someone, don't. But, like, I'm just saying how it looks from the outside in. It's just it's just a bit pathetic, in my opinion.
I mean, taking away this comment from Red Bull, Ted Kravitz is, I would say, the only one on Sky Sports who actually speaks the truth. There's a lot of them who, and I'm not saying about just Red Bull, but I mean in general about any drivers. I think he's the only person who is actually quite sometimes, open and honest normally.
He sounds sometimes more like a fan speaking than like, you know, a PR merchant. Like, you know, like sometimes they have to say things because they're on Sky and they can only say certain things. It's like when Nico Rosberg comes on. I think he's got no filter as well. He just says it as he sees it. And, you know, I think surely we prefer things like that. And sometimes, you know, if you are in that situation, you're a Formula One driver, you're going to be subject to some criticism. People are going to say things that you don't like. But I know that 9 times out of 10, when they're talking about Max Verstappen, and rightly so, they are saying good things about him.
They big
because
him up,
there's really not a lot bad you can say about Max Verstappen.
No.
Because he's a flawless driver. I think generally in press conferences and when he's talking to doing different interviews, I actually like him. I think he comes across...
He's pleasant, he's a pleasant guy.
I think he seems nice. He cracks me up sometimes. And, you know, this is coming off the back of last year where...
Beautiful.
Yeah, like...
Fucking beautiful.
That comment on the radio, I pissed myself. I thought, that, you know, that is such a good response. And this is coming off the back of last year where he was like my arch nemesis because he was up against Lewis and I despised him. But that's sports rivalry. Do you know what I mean? I can look at it aside from that. I think, no, look, quality driver.
The thing is, you don't actually hate him as a person. You hate...
Yeah, I don't know him.
No, but you hate...
I hate his sports personality. Do you know what I hate?
It's that difference, isn't it? Getting the thing.
It's like footballers when... when you're watching, or boxers, when you're like, oh, I hope he smashes his head in or whatever. Like, I really don't like him. But it's not a personal thing. You don't know them. It's just, it's this sports persona that, like, you take on the role of, okay, this is my person. I hate the other person. And that's just how it goes.
And I guarantee you, anyone who's a sports fan has that. Whether that is your football, F1.
It's how it's meant to be. Like, when you're playing sports at school, you're playing against another team. All of a sudden, you hate that school. You hate that team. You hate anyone from that school. Just for that, like, 90 minutes or whatever.
And after that, you're fine.
And it's just rivalry. It's how it's meant to be.
But no, Ted Kravitz, I don't think you intentionally tried to piss Red Bull off. But thank you for not having Horner on the screen this weekend.
Yeah, what a result.
Shall we talk about the race? Any other big news from that? There isn't at the moment, is there? I think we've spoken about the main...
Well, you had obviously the Alonso Hamilton.
Oh, okay. Shall we get onto this then? God, I forgot about that. There's so much this weekend. It's been great. Fernando Alonso, I'm not his biggest fan. I think he's very arrogant. And if you're that good, then I can understand why you are that arrogant.
Yeah. As a driver, I think he's quality.
But this weekend, he came out and openly spoke about, you know, Max Verstappen. We all know that he's a Max Verstappen fan.
Well,
he doesn't
Lewis. Yeah, I don't even necessarily think it. I think he's a Max fan because he hates Lewis so much.
Yeah. So we know that that's the case, and it has been for a while.
Well, since 2007, he's
disliked him. So he came out and said this weekend that actually Max Verstappen's titles are more valuable basically than what Lewis earned, because Max Verstappen had to properly earn his titles. That's basically...
Which all I would say is, let's just look at the driver's standings and constructor's standings for this season. If we are going to go off that, I think every title is worth the same, in my opinion.
So Alonso came out on that, with that, and I read it and I was like, that's just ridiculous. You know, I think...
It is ridiculous.
And Alonso did put on Twitter, though, before, saying, and again, please, all the titles are amazing, well-deserved and inspiring, incomparable to each other, and let's enjoy champions and legends of our current time. Tired of the continuous search for headlines, let's enjoy them. So I think basically after that he was insinuating that's not really what I meant in the press. We all know that. I think that is probably what he was trying to say. Lewis Hamilton then comes out with a picture of him standing on the podium with Alonso. And
so with his hand on his shoulder.
Where it looks like his hand's just tickling his ear or something like that. The rivalry between these two don't like each other. And I sent you a link this morning, didn't I, of Fernando Alonso is currently being interviewed.
It's on a podcast, isn't it? It looks like.
Yeah, basically saying, you know, when he started off when Hamilton was a rookie, he was all right. He was actually all right guy.
And he got worse and worse.
He got worse and worse.
I think he means like as a person.
But what I didn't like about that is he was digging him as a person, like what he's wearing, what he's doing. I think I don't really care what people wear or do, whatever. That's nothing to do with racing, is it?
It's the thing. I think like Lewis is. It's his attempt to sort of make them more human. I think we always see them turning up in race gear, talking about racing. Then we see them racing. And then after the race, they're talking about racing again. I think this sort of turning up in like clothes. Okay, some people think the clothes are stupid, whatever. But like a lot of fashion is stupid. But if it's what people are into.
Who cares what people do?
Yeah, like he turns up in his own clothes. It makes him look more human.
I'm glad he turns up in his own clothes and not someone else's.
No, but you know, like...
Oh, shit, I've got Tsunoda's trousers.
Most drivers turn... Yeah, they wouldn't fit anyone but Tsunoda. Most drivers turn up, like, you know, wearing a pair of trousers and then merch.
Yeah.
Like, racing gear. So I think it actually opens them up and you see them in a more human perspective.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It just... Because it's so easy to just forget that these people are real. And it's just like, no, this is all they are, is this racing driver. And it's like, no, they are more than that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this thing is about, showing like individuality and a human side to them.
I think it's safe to say that I think it's safe to say Hamilton lives rent-free in Alonso's head.
I was going to say, I hope Alonso is upping the rent in line with inflation.
Because I think, you know, Alonso hates the fact what Lewis has achieved. I think, you know, Alonso was a back-to-back two-time world champion. Never went on really to achieve anything else after that. Yeah, with Renault.
Came very close in 2010, was it?
Yeah. But I think with Hamilton's dominance, and obviously Alonso just has never liked that.
Hamilton ruffled his feathers in his rookie season.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, it drove Alonso out of the team.
Yeah, he just... Hamilton did come out after Mexico and he was asked about it. And he said, I don't have a lot to say about it. It does make me giggle a little bit. I've tried to be really respectful over the years. And when you've ever asked me about who has been the best driver I've raced against, I've always tried to give praise. But it's definitely interesting to see the comments made, but it doesn't really matter. And I think this is a difference, isn't it? It's very easy to... You've got drivers who can't let go of the past. And yeah, you've got drivers who actually don't really care.
Because let's be real here, right? Lewis and Seb had a much more intense rivalry.
Yeah.
During that time at, Ferrari versus Mercedes. And the way they speak about each other is just... It's so much nicer. I think Lewis is still... He comes out and congratulates Max.
Yeah.
Like... Every time he wins, you know, he's always like, oh, you know, congratulations to Max.
Don't get me wrong, though. Okay, I'm not going to defend Hamilton here because over the years, it's only probably over the last probably 2 or 3 years, he's kind of changed with that. Beforehand, he was also very...
No, I know, but...
He's had his arrogant stages and he's had his, like, you know, arsehole stages as well.
But I do think all the drivers had that. It's just the strange thing about Alonso.
Arsehole stages, that's not what I meant. You know?
Sounds a bit horrible, really, doesn't it? The strange thing about Alonso is this rivalry. I'm gonna quote rivalry because what rivalry?
Yeah.
There has never been a rivalry other than 2007, really.
And he's 40 years old. 41 years old. Come on, like, you know.
Alonso has never been a competitor of Lewis. He's never challenged Lewis for a world championship other than this rookie season where, I mean, Kimi Raikkonen won it anyway, but it's not like Max and Lewis. They can be more personal with each other because they've actually had a title battle. Lewis and Seb, Lewis and Rosberg. I just don't understand this thing. Lewis has had so many more intense battles with other people.
I think it's difficult because I think Alonso still has it. The issue is, you know, he took a gap. He's gone after his career. He's gone to teams. It hasn't worked out. You know, he's been to McLaren twice. It hasn't worked out. He went to Ferrari. Didn't work out. You know, he's been to teams and it just hasn't worked out for him.
Yeah.
He's come back to Alpine. Again, it hasn't worked out. Well, I think... To a certain extent, it hasn't worked out.
Yeah, they are improving.
But it hasn't, you know, this year they've been poor. Their reliability has been very poor.
Yeah.
And I think that comment in the Mexico Grand Prix of him going, oh, this, did you see it?
Yeah, and I understand that. It must be fucking irritating.
I think he's very bitter that he hasn't achieved more in the sport, if that makes sense.
Because he should have.
Oh, 100%. He has a talent to do that. And I think because he hasn't done it and he sees... other drivers get in there.
Because, you know, let's not take away anything from the fact that also in this sport, you need luck.
Yeah.
You need to be in the right car at the right time.
Yeah, I agree.
And Lewis had that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't subtract away the fact that you also need to be the right driver in the right car. I am not disputing that other drivers could have won a similar amount of championships to Lewis Hamilton had they had the right car. The same goes for what if there was a driver in Michael Schumacher's seat for so many years, they would have won championships. But at that same time, it's all about the pairing, you know.
Well, this is an interesting comment which was said probably 6 months ago. I remember Alonso saying, you know, about Hamilton, he was lucky he went to the right car in Mercedes.
Yeah.
Can I just reiterate, He didn't. That was a massive
risk. It was a gamble.
Gamble going from McLaren to Mercedes. And at that point in time, they had a seven-time world champion in Michael Schumacher who couldn't take that Mercedes to the next level.
Who granted was at the end of his career.
He was at the end of his career. But this Mercedes car wasn't like already a winning machine. Hamilton went there. He took a massive gamble and he's paid off. And I agree with you. It's luck. But you've also got to make your own luck. And Hamilton knew that actually this was a risk, but it was worth taking.
And I still stand by the fact that like you couldn't just put anyone in that Mercedes. You couldn't just put anyone in Michael Schumacher's Ferrari. I'm not saying there are not multiple drivers on the grid at one time who could do that. Perhaps not to like the domination levels that they did have.
But
you know, if Seb had gone to Mercedes, we could be seeing a 10-time world champion.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah,
You have to put the right person in those cars.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, if you had just put Bottas in those Mercedes, he would not be a 7-time world champion.
No.
Or a 6-time, 5-time, whatever world champion.
He probably would have a world championship or two.
Yeah. But then you would see, you know, Vettel would have won potentially in the Ferrari.
100%.
So it is the driver who also takes that car to the next level.
Yeah.
Say what you see with Red Bull, you know, with Max Verstappen, he takes that Red Bull to a whole new level. If it's just Perez in that one, I guarantee you he wouldn't be winning world championship year in, year out.
He wouldn't. And that's, you know, that's part of the sport. You need to be the right driver in the right car. But there are multiple right drivers on the grid at any one time.
And I think that goes back to the debate we had last week. Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton are the two best on the grid by a mile. Because, like I say, Perez, if you took out Max Verstappen this season, would he be a world champion right now? I don't know. I think Charles Leclerc would probably win it.
Yeah, I agree, because I think Charles would have more race wins under his belt from the ones where he came P2.
You know, last year...
Lewis would have wins this season.
If you took last year, you took Max and Lewis out last year, who would be the world champion? I mean, I know it's always like, you know, what if, but who would be there? Would it be Perez? Would it be Bottas?
Yeah.
Who would be world champion last
year? Yeah, that's the thing. You wouldn't... God, if it was those two who are like, say like Mercedes and Red Bull didn't have another seat, I actually don't know who would have won it.
The sport would be so boring. Just remember that. You take those two out of the equation, Max and Lewis.
Yeah, and this is, you know, there will be other drivers that are going to come through as well. You know, soon enough, we're going to be, give it 4 years, we'll be talking about probably Max, because Max is young. Lewis will...
Well, he wants to sign a multi-year deal,
apparently. He does. Okay, I'm going to say 7 years. Lewis will be too old then. Max will still be in his 30s, but he'll be living it up, I'm sure.
Alonso will be with Williams, still driving around at age of 54.
Yeah, he'll have his blue badge.
Still trying to get his third time world champion. I am better than Hamilton. No, you're not, mate.
Yeah, let it go, Fernando. but yeah, I find it all strange how he really does, because I could understand Max talking about him. It's like they're rivals. There's just no rivalry here. There's simply not. I'm sorry.
But it hasn't been, as you say, rivalry since 2007.
It's like me talking shit about Tyson Fury wanting to fight him. It's not a comparison.
Yeah. I think you would last a good second.
Did you see his interview with...
True Geordie. He was triggered.
I think you're a bold tosser. So funny.
Good interview, actually.
True Geordie handled it like a champ.
Yeah, he was good. I just realised we've been talking now for 54 minutes and we actually haven't even touched on the race.
Well, there's not a lot to talk about in this race.
Because it was boring.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts. I mean, you know, Max...
The Mexican Grand Prix was the most boring race of the calendar. And it's a real shame. Had potential to be something good.
And the crowd there is so good.
Oh,
you hear them every time Perez coming through the stadium.
And they got... The reward for that was a boring race.
Yeah. And, you know, Max, typical Max fashion, commanded the race start to finish.
Yeah, let's go to qualifying. Obviously, Q1, Q2, Lewis was on P1. I thought to myself, I did a Insta Live, okay? I was thinking, this is it.
You see, I had many, many people saying like, come on, Lewis, get P1.
Yeah.
I was like, please don't. It's the worst track to get P1.
I just wanted to see him get a pole. That's all I wanted.
All I knew is that if he got pole, he was losing P1 into turn one anyway.
Straight away.
I'd rather him have the opportunity from P3, P2 to get the run.
Yeah.
And then get P1 in turn one.
So Max, solid lap.
Max pulls it out of the way.
170, he got like a 117.5 whatever, and it came out of nowhere.
It is a bit like watching Lewis in the old Merc.
Yeah.
Where you think like, oh, he's not actually setting flying laps in Q1, Q2, Q3, out of nowhere. He's like 0.5 quicker than everyone. Yeah. And you're just like, ah, he was just saving it. Max does the same.
He was solid. But a great lap from Max. George P2, Lewis P3. And, you know, I thought on a whole, the biggest losers this weekend, I felt, were Ferrari. They just weren't on the pace whatsoever.
Does anyone know, you know, like we mentioned earlier about them, there was talks about them turning their engines down. A, how the fuck could anyone know? B, why?
Because apparently it's to do with the altitude. Because obviously Mexico is the highest altitude on the calendar.
Correct, yeah.
So apparently the engine, you saw in practice as well, a lot of cars were struggling with their engines. You know, you look at Alpine, they struggled. Haas also struggled. AlphaTauri, they all retired in practice and they had issues with their engines. Something to do with the altitude. I may be completely wrong here, but from what I've been reading...
It's to do with the combustion.
So apparently, because it's such a high altitude, I can't remember how many...
I think it's like 2,000 metres, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a ridiculous amount. But that's the issue, and that's what causes the issue. So that's why some cars can't run as their engine at a higher level, because it affects their altitude.
Which we're no scientists, but I know the basics behind it is the higher you are, the thinner the air, basically, less oxygen.
The more pressure it causes, yeah.
Yeah, so, for the basics of combustion, you need oxygen.
Yeah.
That is part of it. So, yeah, but that's why, you know, there was, like I said last week, there's always that thing of Red Bull always perform well here because of, like, their jet engine technology or something, which...
Yeah, and it works well, doesn't it?
Works
well. Race day, so both Red Bull started on the softs, both Mercedes on the mediums.
Now,
do you know what?
I loved this.
Initially, wait, it takes you back to Abu Dhabi days, doesn't it? Lewis was on the mediums, George started on the softs, you know.
But you mean Max?
Max started on the
softs. Two different strategies, right? I always love it. When you're watching your guy, and, you know, in this case, it was Max, Lewis. I mean, also George. George was in the mix, but I think Lewis has shown that come race pace, he is consistently quicker than...
Yeah.
George. So instantly in my head, I was thinking, right, this is between Max and Lewis. And I'm like, they're on two different strategies. So now you know that something is going to happen 9 times out of 10 because nothing did happen. Because they are working two different strategies. So chances are we're going to see some sort of crossover point where they do need to race each other.
Because I initially thought Mercedes might have got it spot on by starting on the mediums. They could go longer. It took up, I mean, realistically, the pit window for the mediums was lap 28 to 35. You know, the softs in theory were, I think, 22 to 25 or 18 to 22, something like that. I can't quite remember. The thing is...
They were well off, by the way, those predictions.
Yeah, well off. Max did brilliantly to actually take those softs for a lot longer stint, then came in on the mediums.
But when Lewis was on the mediums, he stayed with him. Lewis was within like 1.5 for a long time.
Yeah.
And then I think he dropped back because it's better not to follow so closely. And then he was like, just following like 3 seconds behind or something.
Yeah, and I think before he pitted, it got down to 1.5 seconds before Max pitted.
And Perez couldn't close the gap.
No.
I mean, Lewis was pulling from Perez when he was on the media.
But isn't that the difference? You saw this last year in Mexico. Perez didn't have an answer for Lewis. And yes, okay.
But Lewis didn't have an answer for Max.
He didn't have, no, yeah, exactly. Exactly the same as last year. But it shows that actually Mercedes have this pace, but not quite at the level of Max Verstappen's pace.
Yeah.
Which if you're a Mercedes fan, as we are, it's positive. It's a...
I'm excited for next season now.
100%. But if you are Red Bull, you must be thinking to yourself, how is this possible? How can not Max... Realistically, that should have been a Red Bull 1-2 this weekend.
They should have had a lot more 1-2s this season.
Massively.
I'm actually curious. How many 1-2s have Red Bull had compared to how many 1-2s have Lewis and Max had?
I don't know. I'll find out.
Yeah, quite interested to know.
Let us know. So, obviously, Max came into pit. Lewis went for a longer stint. I think he pitted on like lap 28 and went on to the hards. I was thinking to myself, okay, all right, this is fine because the hards would go to the end of the race. The mediums were only doing roughly about 30 laps. So in theory, Red Bull need to pit again.
Yeah, to me, the strategy made sense.
Yeah. The hards weren't good enough. The mediums went much longer than anyone was expecting.
Seb did like 38 laps on the softs or something. Yeah.
I can't work out the tyre compounds. Well, I can work out what they are. But
this season has confused me with tyres.
I mean, beforehand, you kind of knew that actually when the softs were going off, they were going off.
This year, you see it in lap times as well.
This year, it's a mystery.
Yeah.
I honestly can't work it out. And
which is where, you know, we've praised Red Bull's strategy so much this season. And they do really seem to have been able to be so fluid.
Yeah.
And understand what the tyres are doing in real time and working with it. And I think, you know, they showed this weekend, they just nailed it again.
And, you know, give Max the credit. He conserved those medium tyres really well. Yeah. He took them to the end of the race. Same with Perez as well. He did the same with those mediums. So it was just a one-stop race, which... If it was a two-stop race, it would have completely turned the race on its head and made it more interesting.
Every race should have to be a two-stop race.
Yeah.
It would just be so much better. But it needs to be, you can't just force a two-stop. It needs to be where the tyres are actually falling off.
Yeah.
I don't like that the tyres last so long.
Major talking points from this weekend. Danny Rick. Can I just say, this guy had a hell of a race.
But also, let's not... Under-talk, is that a phrase? The strategy, down-talk the strategy.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly what George Russell wanted to do.
Yeah.
Shouting on the radio, let's go long, then go on to the soft. Or Danny Rick, you know, he got a 10-second penalty and still didn't lose his P7.
No, he was where has this Danny Rick been? Where has he been all season? I don't know why. And he even said afterwards, it's a shame that... He said it's the same it's taken to now to actually start to get there. But he was superb. Like you say, had a 10-second penalty after coming with a collision with Tsunoda.
Which I thought was actually harsh.
Did you?
It was Danny Rick's fault.
100%, yeah.
But I still think all he did was tease that inside.
There was no gap. There was no gap whatsoever.
There wasn't, but I don't think... he was going for the move. And I saw an interview after. He said, I was just letting him know I was there.
Yeah.
Tsunoda left no space. He did just come in. So it was Danny Rick's fault.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I think 10 seconds was harsh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I kind of liked it because it kind of showed that now I'm still going to get that.
Yeah, it didn't
finishing
matter.
Finishing P7.
In the end anyway.
And... fastest pit stop of the year, 1.9 seconds.
His pit stop?
Danny Rick's pit stop, 1.9 seconds.
1.9. That is electric.
Really slow. You get quicker at Quick Fit.
You could blink and like that, he's gone.
Yeah. It was superb.
And I was so happy for him.
Oh, I was delighted for him. You know, did you see interviews? I'm starting to get the feeling, right, that Danny Rick... is going to be Mercedes reserve team driver for next year.
I
get that. There was an interview after with Sky Sports. Mercedes said they were doing an interview with Sky Sports this weekend, not Red Bull. And Danny Rick was there.
Toto and George come in.
Yeah. And I get the feeling that we may see Danny Rick in a Mercedes, which, if it is true, is the most bizarre turn of events because...
Going from Red Bull to Mercedes.
Nick De Vries goes from Mercedes to
Red Bull, essentially.
AlphaTauri, yeah. What is going on?
Yeah.
We're living in a parallel universe or something.
It's, the only thing I don't quite understand is how does this progress his career? Because he's not going to get a seat at Mercedes.
No.
So unless it's just saying, well, like, look, this is what I did at Mercedes, you know, maybe Toto can pull some strings, get him a seat somewhere. It's a good reference to have. Do you know what I mean? If say a seat becomes available somewhere Alpine. Let's just say Alpine.
Do you know what I just realised? The poor guy has never driven a championship winning car. So
Yeah, he's been at
He's been at
four championship winning teams.
But he's never driven a championship winning car. He's going to Mercedes. If he'd gone at the beginning of last year or year before, sorry, he'd be like, oh, he's driven a championship winning car. He's gone every car he's gone to. Oh no, is that a bad omen?
So think Red Bull, right? They're a championship winning team. Never drove a championship winning car. He then goes to Renault, a championship winning team. Not that car. Then goes to McLaren, championship winning team. Not that car. Now he's off to Mercedes.
Potentially.
It wouldn't be a championship winning car. Yeah, that must be frustrating for him. It's almost like right place, wrong time.
Yeah, I think for Danny Ric, if it is the case, I'd be delighted for him.
I do understand the move for him. I think it's a great move. He's going to be working with, and this is pure speculation. We are literally plucking this out of thin air, by the way.
Seven-time world champion. Sorry, take credit. Yeah. Sorry.
There's no guarantee this is going to happen. I'm not even sure we've really seen rumours about this, but I think it'd be a great opportunity for him to work within, again, a world-class team, which he hasn't had since Red Bull.
Yeah.
No. So I think it will be good for his driving. The only thing I struggle to see is what's the next step then?
Well, yeah. And
but he says, I've got a plan.
He's got a plan. I think for him, having that circuit break or reset will be good. I think he
needs... Spending time in the sims with no pressure.
Yeah, I think for him it'd be good. And, I mean, I'm not being funny. What's he got to lose? As we said last week, Danny Ric is never going to be a world champion. He's missed that boat, as far as I'm concerned. He needs to come back to a team. And if he wants to show people that actually he is a world-class driver or a good driver, he needs to come back and actually prove himself.
What I will say is we say he's never going to be a world champion. Stranger things have happened. Jenson Button became a world champion. No one thought that was going to happen.
Yeah, but Jenson Button didn't have a Max Verstappen or a Lewis Hamilton or a Charles Leclerc. I know Jenson Button had good driver. Well, he had Alonso, Vettel. I get that.
And he did technically have a Lewis Hamilton.
Well, he did, yeah, okay, yeah.
But no, you know, he had this Braun seat and they just had a rocket ship.
Yeah, you know, but okay, that Braun...
All I'm saying is this is stranger things have happened.
Have you read that book yet?
Yeah, twice.
Yeah.
Back to front. It looks unlikely that Danny Ric will ever win a championship.
Yeah, okay. So I can't...
Don't bet any money on it happening.
I bet you a tattoo he will never win a championship.
Still got to get that. That'll happen in the off-season. Don't you worry, boys and girls.
Yes, we will get that. So on a whole, the race, Max wins. Lewis didn't really have an answer for it. Those hard tyres weren't great. Interestingly, though, Binotto comes out after. He goes, it's funny, when Ferrari make a mistake with the tyre choice, they get slandered. When Mercedes have missed out on the last two races of getting a race win, they don't get much stick. Interesting point by Binotto.
Kind of understand it.
I get it. The issue is Mercedes, other than that, have been reasonably flawless with their reliability this year. The drivers haven't crashed too much.
I think it is Ferrari as a collective. There's always something wrong with you, right? It's always your strategy.
Your pit stops.
Or it's your pit stops, or it's your drivers, or it's your reliability. There is always something. So I think that's... I understand the point. But Mercedes fans do slander. Yeah. I mean, if you're...
I was livid. Once I realised that, I was just kind of like, do you know what?
But at the end of the day, Mercedes haven't fumbled a world championship. Ferrari have.
Yeah.
So that's why you will get more stick, because your errors have cost you a world championship.
Which you are well entitled to still be in the battle now.
In my opinion, we should be seeing similar stuff to last season.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing, isn't it? You take away the strategy, the tyre choice. If you take away the drivers crashing, you take away
reliability,
then actually I don't think fans will be as annoyed if you make a slight error with the strategy. But with, as you say, with a collective, it just, you're just opened yourself up for stick.
Yeah. So I appreciate, you know, feeling a bit hard done by, because it is a fair point. But yeah, there's a lot more reason for Ferrari to be on the receiving end of stick.
Other than that, I thought, you know, great race from Danny Rick. He was my driver of the day. I thought he was superb.
I think he was everyone's.
Good race by Lewis. The Ferraris had a stinker this weekend. They never were really in the race, were they?
Yeah. Which Perez and George as well were consistent.
Yeah.
You know, they still didn't make any errors. And the front four was so far off the others.
Massive shout out to Max Verstappen. 14 race wins in a season.
Another record.
Breaking Michael Schumacher's record. Well,
I think if he wins one... Does he have to win one more or two more to do the percentage as well? Because he's got most race wins in a season, but obviously we do more races now. Yep. I think the win percentage, as in how many percent of... What percentage of races did you win that season, is still held by Michael Schumacher. But Max can do it. I'm not sure he either has to win just one more or both the races.
Well, obviously we've got Brazil... And then we've got Abu Dhabi next, so I would not
put,
be surprised.
I would put my money on that happening. And I think you could always see stuff like this. You could always see Max becoming a record breaker.
Yeah, he's only going to break more records over the years. Yeah. And he's in a league of his own at the moment, isn't he? And I'm excited for next season. I think we're starting to see Mercedes come back into it. Well, and as we said last week, we want to see a battle between three teams, Ferrari, Mercedes,
Red Bull. I hope Ferrari sort their shit out as well, because I genuinely want to see all three of them going for it.
I would not be surprised if Binotto is not a team principal come next season.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. I think they need to look into that.
Yeah, I think, you know, they've completely gone off the... boil. And you've got to remember now, Mercedes, I think, are only 40 points behind Ferrari in the constructors. So you can get in P2.
Do you just go for P3? It makes no odds if you come second or third in the championship. I know financially you get more money. Mercedes are not worried about money. No. Does it make more sense for them to just get the extra wind tunnel time and to try and reduce the drag on this car?
Yes, I think. But I think... If your Mercedes are a competitive team, so they will fight until the end to get, you know, they've still got a lot to fight for. They want Lewis Hamilton or Mercedes to get a race win, or George Russell to get a race win.
I understand that.
So they'll still be going for that. And I think, you know, as for a team, it's really important that they continue to fight for a race win or, you know, P2. Because
I just think getting P3 right now and increasing the wind tunnel time is actually more advantageous.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Look, they...
Last race. Final lap. Right, Lewis, I need you to just go into a wall. Why is that? Well, we're going to lose P3 here.
Yeah, we don't want P2.
No.
He's like, oh, man, but this is going to be my race win. Yeah. No, it's not happening.
Lewis, where's Latifi?
Lewis, crash. Yeah. I just think, you know, they spent all their R&D this year on stopping the bouncing and the porpoising. The next step is, you know, they were like 5 kilometers an hour slower than Red Bull down the straight. Well, we know that the Williams is on par with the Red Bull in straight line speed. So it's not an engine issue here. It's an aero issue.
Yeah.
So now they can move on to reducing the drag. If Mercedes get that top speed back, we've seen that actually in a lot of tracks, they're quicker in the low speed and high speed corners.
Yeah.
Than, you know, I'm talking as we've moved on through the season. Initially, it was Ferrari who were lightning in those corners. So they've clearly nailed that part, right? If we now get the top speed, we're going to see Mercedes up there with Red Bull. And hopefully Ferrari iron out their issues and get that car back to what it was.
We need it, don't we? We need it. Can I just finish the... I know we've been talking a while. Driver standings. So Sergio Perez goes into second with 280 points.
Which, by the way, that is very impressive.
Very.
How has Leclerc not got second at least? We said that Leclerc finishing second early, much earlier on, would be a nightmare for him.
Yeah.
I think we said if he finished third, I don't even think we had a word to describe it.
So Charles Leclerc is third. He's 5 points behind Perez. George Russell is fourth with 231 points. Lewis Hamilton...
How many points is George behind Perez?
So,
not Perez, Leclerc.
30, 40, 50, 60, 70. So
he's well
44,
behind.
44 points.
Sorry, how did you count to 70? But the answer was 40.
Well, no, because it's 275 points. So I was going from 230, 40, 50, 60, 70.
It's like 20, 50, 60, 70. It's 40.
If you need a maths tuition.
Yeah, don't let Matt be your accountant, basically.
That's why I have no money. No, joke. So Lewis Hamilton goes into fifth with 216 points.
He's only like 15 behind George now, isn't he?
He is 15 behind George. Carlos Sainz drops to sixth.
Again, that is remarkable. How I just think how impressed we were with Ferrari like four or five races in.
And they bottled it.
Now Carlos Sainz is sixth.
Bottle jobs. So how the constructor stands is obviously Red Bull was 696. Very impressive. Very, very impressive.
Ridiculous.
Ferrari on 487. Mercedes on 447. So 40 points behind heading into the final two races.
Now, and this is where it also gets interesting, moving down the standings, there are some important battles going on here.
Yep. So this weekend with Alpine are in fourth with 153 points. McLaren are in fifth with 146.
That was a big one. You know, Danny Ric getting those points. Yep. Alonso retiring. I think it was big for them.
I think if Danny Ric has now come back into form for these final two races, this is where they need him the most if they want to get the fourth.
And, you know, Alpine are having those horrible reliability issues.
Yeah. Massive shout out to Bottas this weekend. Epic race, epic qualifying, finished P10, yeah. Got another point for Alfa Romeo.
And they need it.
They need it, yeah. So Alfa Romeo are in sixth with 53 points. Aston Martin are in seventh with 49 points. I mean, Haas in eighth and AlphaTauri in ninth. Haas are on 36 points, AlphaTauri on 35 points. Williams have got 8 points. So
yeah, obviously Williams are not going to be moving.
World champions.
No, but, you know, they're going to finish 10th, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much a given.
Yeah, unless some...
This Alpine, unless Albon... Alpine?
Alpine.
Albon gets a race win, which I can't really see happening. But you never know. Stranger things have happened. So, yeah, so much to talk about in this episode. I hope you guys actually enjoyed it. Let us know what your thoughts are. Obviously, these are our own thoughts. This isn't something, you know... I think a lot of people think that, oh, we're just Mercedes fans, so it's...
We're not. We're just two Drive to Survive fans that want to come here and talk to you every week about the sport that we've loved for 2.5 months.
Yeah. 2 months.
Two,
yeah. So, yeah, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Luke, have a good week.
Yeah, thanks, you too.
We'll be back next week for a brand new episode. Brand new episode.
Brand new.
Not a new episode, a brand new episode.
We're going to be looking at Brazil.
Brazil.
One of the best races of the season.
Also, can we please bring back the black livery on the Mercedes, please?
Yeah, I think it will make it quicker.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works.
Yeah. I was just saying I love that livery, but...
And Red Bull need to go to that white one.
Slows them down. It doesn't even slow them down, to be honest.
They won. Then they get P1, P2.
Just take the wheels off.
But that livery was amazing. One of my favourites of all time.
I like the pink Alpine.
Pink Alpine.
Beginner season was pretty cool.
The Monaco McLaren.
Monaco McLaren. Yeah, that was sick.
Why don't teams run these? If they're nicer, why not just run them all the time?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm well confused.
Yeah, no.
Black Mercedes looks nicer. I get it's to do with branding as well. Doesn't matter. Like, people will still associate what they see. That, you know... Red Bull, do that coconut Red Bull. That's white.
Yeah. Do that.
It still fits in with the brand.
Right, guys, let us know your favourite livery. Comment down below. So, we'll be back next week. Have a great week, and we shall speak to you soon. Bye-bye.